Join me as I read our main text for this afternoon's message, which is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. Hebrews 11, verse 16, especially its last part. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word. Children, have you heard of the word foundling? Foundling. It is a sad word. It refers to a child that has been abandoned by his parents. It points to a forsaken or abandoned child without known parents. It is very heartbreaking to know that there is such a parent, usually a mother, who can abandon her child. And you might ask, why would a mother abandon her child? Well, let me give you four possible reasons. The first one is this: pressure. Pressure. Perhaps this mom was only a teenager when she had her baby, and her parents were not happy seeing her with a baby at her very young age. Especially the father of the baby was unwilling to support her and their baby. So this social pressure coming from her family was a reason why she decided to abandon her child. Another possible reason is poverty. Perhaps she was unable to provide for her child's material needs. She had no job. Another possible reason is poor health. Maybe she was suffering from a severe depression. She was not thinking reasonably. She was very sick and therefore was unable to take care of her baby, and so she just decided to abandon her child. Perhaps the reason is pride. Pride. Maybe her child has a mental problem or physical deformity, and she did not want to raise a child like that. She was simply ashamed of her baby. Or maybe she was ashamed of the fact that she was a single parent. Maybe she thought, well, if I raise this baby, then no guy would want to marry me. And so I'll just abandon this child and remain single with no child. Pride. Now, thankfully, our Heavenly Father is not like this mother, because our text says, Hebrews 11, verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. And so with God's help, I entitled this message, God's Pride and Pleasure in His People. And I have two thoughts that I would like to share with you. The first one is this: God takes pride in His children. And second, God takes pleasure in His children. So first of all, let's consider our first point: God takes pride in His children. Now, in this context, we should understand the word pride positively. Here, God is like an earthly father who is proud of his child. Now, I am a father, boys and girls. I have 5 kids. And I want you to know that I am proud of all my 5 children. I take pride in each of them. Well, in the same way, actually in a much better way, our Heavenly Father in heaven takes pride in His true children. Hebrews 11 verse 16 says, "Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." Or literally in the original, this verse should read, "Therefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God." So imagine this, our God is not ashamed of them. Or to put it positively, God is proud of them. Now the question is this, who are they in whom God takes pride? Well, let's look at the immediate context of verse 16. They are actually sinners, such as we are. Look at, for instance, verse 7. There we encounter Noah. Noah was a man of faith. But let us not forget what he did. He fell into sin. We read in Genesis 9, verses 21 and 22, "Then he drank of the wine and was drunk. And he was so drunk that he became," or "he lay uncovered," or "naked in his tent. And Ham, his son, saw the nakedness of his father and told his 2 brothers outside." So imagine this. Here you have Noah, whom God used to build the ark. And yet he became drunk. So drunk that he lay naked in his house. That his nakedness was seen by his own children. And yet in our text we read, God is not ashamed of them, including Noah. Who else do we have here? Abraham, verse 8. Look at verse 8. Abraham was a man of faith, but he was a liar. Remember in Genesis chapter 20, he told a lie to King Abimelech. When Abraham said that Sarah, his wife, is his sister. And yet, again, in our text, we read, God is not ashamed of them, including Abraham, a liar. In verse 11, we meet Sarah. Yes, Sarah was a woman of faith. And yet, if you recall, she told a blatant lie in Genesis chapter 18. Remember when she heard that she was going to have a son? She laughed to herself. Then the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 18 verse 13, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid. And God said, 'No, you did laugh.'" Imagine, God caught you committing sin and you denied it in front of the Lord. How dare you do that? Sarah did it. She told a blatant lie to the Lord. And yet we read in our text, God is not ashamed of them, including this woman, Sarah, a liar. Now the question is this, why? Why does God take pride in them? Why? Lord, are you sure that you take pride in a drunk, in a liar, in a sinner? course, God would say yes. And the answer is found in verse 13. Why? Look at verse 13, please. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith. Yes, yes, Abraham, Noah, Sarah, they were sinners, and yet they died in faith. They died as believers in God. They were believers. They believed the gospel. They all believed in the promised Messiah. And on the basis of their faith in the gospel, in the coming Christ, God is no longer ashamed of them. Why is that important, by the way? What happens when we believe in God? Well, you see, when you believe in God, His righteousness is imputed to you. And on the basis of that righteousness, you became righteous as if you had never sinned before. That's what happened to Sarah, Abraham, and Noah, not to mention others, people of faith. They received the righteousness of God. And that's why we read in verse 7. Look at verse 7, please. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became, listen now, please, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He became heir of the righteousness. He owned this righteousness. He received this righteousness of God by faith. And now that he has that righteousness, God can no longer condemn him. Now God can say to him, I am not ashamed of you, because now you are clothed with righteousness divine. You see, by nature, we don't have that kind of righteousness that can please the Lord, that can satisfy God's justice. All that we have in and of ourselves is sin, our unrighteousness. And yes, you may boast about all your religious activities, but in God's sight, all our unrighteousnesses are but a filthy rag. They stink. They stink before the Lord. But with the righteousness that comes from Him, now we smell wonderful before the Lord. Now God can take pride in us. David says in Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. It's a parallel, by the way. To be forgiven of transgression, that means that your transgression, your sin, is covered. And when that happens, you are blessed. Now, who is saying here? David. Who was David? He was an adulterer, a murderer, and yet the Lord forgave him. And yet all his sins were covered with the blood of the Lamb of God. And because of that, God can say to David also, I am not ashamed of you. Because you are now forgiven. You are now cleansed from all your iniquities. All your sins are now buried in the blood of the Lamb. And so God can say this to David also. Hebrews 10 verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And this is fascinating. That this God who cannot forget This God who knows everything about us, the God who knows what happened in eternity past and what is happening right now and what will happen in eternity future, this God has decided not to remember our sins anymore. Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And because of that, God is no longer ashamed of us. Because when He sees us, for instance, in my case, I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness was imputed to me. Now I have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God the Father looks at me, what He sees in me is now the righteousness of His Son. And on that basis, He can say to me, I am not ashamed of you, because I can see the righteousness of my Son, that perfect righteousness. Or you can even say, because Jesus is in me and I am in Him by faith, with that union. When God the Father sees me, He sees His Son in me, and therefore He is not ashamed of me because of His Son in me. And this is amazing. You see, if you are a believer in Christ, God is not ashamed of you. God will not disown you like what this mother did to her child in our introduction. God cannot and will not abandon you. And that's His promise, by the way. Hebrews 13 verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Why? Well, because He once forsook His Son on the cross of Calvary. And why did God the Father forsake His own beloved Son? Why did He do that? Well, because at that very moment, His Son became sin. Now remember, I did not say a sinner, but He became sin. And that's precisely what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. For He made Him, God the Father made His Son, who knew no sin, to be sin. Imagine that. God made His Son to be sin, S-I-N, for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So imagine this, when Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary, when He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know the answer why. His Father forsook Him because at that moment, He became sin. He bore our sin. He bore our shame. And there is a sense that at that very, very moment, God was ashamed of His own Son. Think about that. God, and I say this carefully, at that very moment when His Son became sin, when His Son bore our shame, as Isaiah says in chapter 53, God was ashamed of His own Son. The Son of God was abandoned that you might be accepted by God the Father. Jesus bore that shame on the cross. Your shame, my shame, so that God might take glory in us. Shame and glory. He took shame that we might receive glory from God. What a great exchange. You know, sometimes we feel ashamed, if not oftentimes, whenever we commit sin. And sometimes we are so ashamed of ourselves that we don't want to go to church. We don't want to fellowship with people. We don't want to come to the Lord's table because of what we did. We're so ashamed of ourselves. But you see, if we are in Christ, if you are a true believer in Christ, God remains unashamed of you. Yes, even when you commit sin. God is not like this mother who feels ashamed of her son, of her daughter. Now, I hope parents, you don't feel the same if, let's say, one of your children did something wrong. Maybe failed in a class, and suddenly you would feel ashamed of your own child. You see, our God, no matter what happens, He's always proud of us. And that's because of His Son in us. That's why we read in our text, Hebrews 11, verse 16, God is not ashamed to be called their God. See, our difference is this with God. God is not ashamed of us because when He sees us, like what I mentioned earlier, He sees us through the lens of the cross, through His Son, through the gospel, through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at ourselves, we look at ourselves apart from the gospel, apart from Jesus. And so when we focus on ourselves, on our guilt, on our misery, no wonder why we feel so ashamed of ourselves to the point that you don't want to come to the Lord's table. And that's why Robert Morey McShane once said, for every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. It's good, yes, that we look at ourselves, we see our sin, but don't focus on your sin, on your misery. Focus on God's mercy. Focus on His grace, not on your guilt. Focus on Jesus, on your Savior, not on your shame. We read in Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. And listen now, please, despising the shame. Think about that. It was so shameful to be crucified on the cross. We probably have no idea how shameful it was to be crucified on the cross, to be numbered among transgressors in the eyes of the world. They really thought that Jesus was a criminal. So shameful. But Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, Jesus despised, He ignored that shame. He ignored it for your sake and for my sake. So that God can now say this to us, I am not ashamed of you because of what my Son has done for you. Bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place, condemned He stood. Sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah indeed. What a Savior we have. He took our shame. God is not ashamed to be called their God. Or literally, the idea is this. God is not ashamed to give them His name as their surname. What does it mean? Well, let me illustrate my point here. Now remember, when God asked Moses to deliver his people out of the land of Egypt. Moses said to the Lord, "Lord, if they ask you who you are, what shall I say? How will I introduce you to the people of Israel? What shall I tell them?" And then God said to Moses, "Tell them, I am what I am. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." That's quite interesting, by the way, that our God is not ashamed to associate himself with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. It's like this, reverently speaking, if you were to ask God right now, "Lord, who are you? Who are you?" He can say to you, "I am the God of Brian Najafor." God will not hesitate. God will not be ashamed to associate himself with me, because I am his child. I am the God. I am the father of Brian Najafor. And he can say the same to you. You can personalize it. If you are in Christ, you can say, "God is my father." And God can say to you, "I am your father. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac." He is not ashamed to associate himself with sinners. Maybe to help you further understand this point, maybe going back to my illustration about this mother who was deciding, planning to abandon her child. Well, suddenly, a guy came to her. This guy fell in love with this single mom. And he said, listen, don't abandon your child. I want to marry you. I love you. I will marry you, and this child that you bore, I will adopt that child. And that child will be mine. And that child will carry my surname. I'm not going to be ashamed to be that child's father. See, that's what God did in Christ, in adoption, spiritual adoption. God is not ashamed of us. Yes, despite all our shortcomings and failures and imperfections and weaknesses, God remains unashamed of us. And that's why, again, going back to the Lord's table, sometimes we feel ashamed of ourselves. We don't want to come to the Lord's table because we look at our shortcomings. But brothers and sisters in the Lord, don't focus on your shortcomings. Focus on who you are in Christ. Remember your identity in Christ. And that identity does not change. Your sin cannot undo your identity in Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to be children of God. We have now the authority to be the children of God. Use that authority, that glorious authority, to come to the Lord's table. Now, boys and girls, for sure when you disobey your parents, when you sin against your mom or dad, your status as a child does not change. You're still a child of your dad. Your dad may discipline you because of what you did, but you remain a child of your father. and of your mother. And the same is true. Yes, we sin against the Lord. We don't minimize that. We don't want to abuse His grace. Paul talks about this. Shall we then continue in sinning that grace may abound? God forbid. But even when we sin, we remain children of God. We repent of our sin. And there is assurance that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our sins. He is the God who delights in mercy. What does it mean? Well, He is the God who enjoys forgiving sinners. God actually enjoys forgiving sinners. Now, I want to be honest. I don't always enjoy forgiving. I don't enjoy forgiving sinners. If you're honest too with yourselves, you don't always enjoy forgiving others. But you see, God delights in mercy, Micah says, which means that He enjoys, He takes delight in bestowing His mercy upon those who ask for it. And that's why when this tax collector prayed to the Lord in that parable, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, or in the original, the sinner, he thinks at that moment that he was the only sinner on earth. And according to Jesus, that tax collector who asked for mercy received it. He went justified, forgiven. God is not ashamed of us. But I want to add this. Even Jesus is not ashamed of us either. Hebrews 2 verse 11. And this is so wonderful. Please read it. I want you to see it with your own eyes and be blessed by it. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11. Hebrews 2 verse 11. For both, Hebrews 2 verse 11, for both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason He, now referring to Jesus, He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Imagine that the Lord Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you His brother or sister. He's not ashamed. In fact, if you recall, the Pharisees and the scribes, they tried to put pressure on Jesus because Jesus was receiving sinners and He was eating with them. In the minds of the Pharisees and scribes, that was a big no. If you claim to be a religious leader, you don't mingle with sinners. And so we read in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Him, to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled. They murmured. They said, this man receives sinners and eats with them? What kind of religious leader is this? He receives sinners and He even eats with them. But of course, Jesus took it as a compliment. You have just described me. That's who I am. Because I am a friend of sinners. I am not ashamed of those sinners who come to me by faith and in repentance. I will not cast them out. Jesus, what a friend for sinners, as one hymn writer says. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me, He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. And that's why next week, the Lord willing, you're going to have the Lord's Supper. Again, you have the tendency to to feel ashamed of yourselves, maybe because of sin. You don't want to come to the Lord's table. Well, remember, Jesus receives sinners and He dines, He eats with them. If you are a true believer in Christ, there is no reason for you not to come to the Lord's table. Unless, of course, if you have sinned and you are unrepentant of that sin, but if you ask for forgiveness, you have this blessed assurance that God will forgive you and cleanse you from all your iniquities. Others might be ashamed of you because of who you are. Now, don't we sometimes do the same? Like, we may not say it vocally, but we only want to mingle with people that are lovely, loving, lovable. We don't want to fellowship with those people that look intimidating. We are ashamed of them. Like, that's that person over there? No, I don't want to associate myself with that person. And sometimes we parents, we say, my son, I don't want you to play, or I don't want you to hang out with that boy over there because I heard what that boy did. No. I'm ashamed of that boy. I don't want that boy. But you see, God is not like that. He welcomes sinners, even the vilest sinner on earth, the worst sinner. If that sinner comes to God by faith, God will not say, go out. Just think of the prodigal son. After wasting the inheritance money of his father, when his father saw his son, he didn't say, I told you, now you have the guts to return to me? No way. Shut the door. No. Oh, with open arms, he ran. He could not wait. My child. And there was a celebration. There was a great joy. This son was lost, but now he is found. Amazing grace. Now, briefly, let's consider the second point. God takes pleasure in His true children. So God is no longer ashamed of us. In fact, He even takes pleasure in us. What God said to His Son can also be said of us. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Think about that. God delights in us. God finds joy in us. He finds happiness in us, in His children. Now, parents, don't we do the same? Don't we feel the same toward our children? We find joy in our children. Our Heavenly Father finds joy too in His own children. He delights in them. He is so pleased with them that He has prepared a place for them, a city for them. Look at verse 16. Let's go back to our text again, please. Hebrews 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Think about that. He has prepared a city, that celestial city that John Bunyan talks about in The Pilgrim's Progress, where there is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more temptation. God is so pleased with us that right now, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is building a mansion for us, a house for us. And he makes a promise that once He is done building that house, He will come again to take us to Himself, so that where He is, there we may be also. And so we can echo what David says in Psalm 23, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Imagine that. God is not ashamed of us. He takes pride in us, and He also takes pleasure in us to the point that He wants to spend eternity with us. Imagine that. You know, we often joke, we say, oh, I can't stand it just sitting right next to this person. I cannot stand it. After an hour of conversation with this person, I'm done. Like, but God wants to spend eternity with His people. He is preparing a place for them, this heavenly city. He is pleased with us. Now, have you ever thought about this? How do you know? So you are here this afternoon. What are you doing? You're worshiping the Lord. How do you know that God is being pleased with you? How do you know? Maybe you're just wasting your time. How do you know? Can you actually please the Lord when you play the organ, when you play the piano, when you give your offerings to the Lord? And even right now, listening to God's word is part of worship. You are worshiping the Lord right now by listening to His word. How do I know that this preaching, the proclamation of God's word, is pleasing to the Lord or will please Him? Can I actually please God? Well, we have the answer in verse 6. Look at verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible for you to please God, period. Which means, if you are an unbeliever this afternoon, yes, you gave to Him, to the Lord. Yes, you sang. Yes, you are here, but you are not pleasing the Lord, because the Bible is so clear. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Positively speaking, with faith, it is possible to please God. If you are a believer, you can please God. And don't you want to please God? And isn't it that that's our desire, should be our desire, should be our goal, ultimate goal. We are not here to please so-and-so. Now, you children, I hope that you are not here just to simply please your parents. No, we are here because we want to please the Lord. We don't want to be men pleasers. We want to be pleasers of God. And yes, we can please the Lord. And so as I end this message, my question is this. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you ashamed of Jesus? Now remember Peter. Someone asked him, Peter, are you with Jesus? And he said, oh, no. At that moment, Peter was ashamed of Jesus. He denied Jesus, not just once, but three times. And yet, he asked for forgiveness. He was forgiven. He was forgiven. Maybe at one point you denied Jesus. Maybe this afternoon you're saying, Pastor, do you think God can still forgive me? I have many sins. Well, our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. His mercy is more. Oh, maybe you will say, but I have committed a great sin against the Lord. Well, let me ask you this question. How big is your sin? How big is that sin that you have committed against the Lord? Do you think that sin is greater than God's grace? Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus. Deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful grace, all sufficient for me, for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name. I tell you this, no matter how great your sin is, God can still forgive you because His grace is greater still than your greatest, biggest sin. And God enjoys to forgive sinners. Ask for forgiveness, and He will forgive you. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for reminding us your children, that you are not ashamed of us because of Christ, because of His righteousness imputed to us through faith in Him. Lord, if there is anyone here who is so down, so discouraged, maybe not planning to come to the Lord's table next Sunday because of sin, use, Lord, this message to encourage and comfort that individual, to assure that person that in Jesus there is forgiveness, that your grace is broader than the scope of our transgressions, greater far than all our sin and shame. And for us, Lord, excited to come to your table, Lord, please keep us from sin and from the evil one. Help us to look to Jesus, to keep our eyes on Him, the finisher and author of our faith, in whose name we pray. Amen.